The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
From Studio 7, I'm your host, Alex Parnute. Regardless of how you're listening, we're glad to have you joining us. When you have a few minutes, take time to browse around our media website, www.theflypod.com. We have a nationwide network of show hosts, and we podcast a wide variety of programs daily to thousands of small communities across the United States, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. When it comes to media, we are what's next. In This America Speaks Out, you'll be listening to a conversation with a mom of a transgender child. Unless you've been hiding in a cave, one of the biggest social issues of the day is this question of sexuality. Our communities, our schools, they are starting to deal with it. State houses are beginning to deal with it from a legislative point of view. But the parents and kids that fit into this category have been dealing with it for a long, long time. And it is what we'll be talking about in this segment of America Speaks Out. It used to be called gays and lesbians, but today it is more than that. It is LGBTQ. But today we will focus in on the T, standing for transgender. With us today is a mom of a transsexual child. Shelley, welcome to this segment of America Speaks Out.
Thank you.
Before we get into this subject, how about defining this LGBTQ acronym that is being used today and how the transgender element came into your life?
The L stands for lesbian, which is simply a female sexually attracted to other women. The B is bi. A bisexual person is attracted to both men and women. Gay is a man sexually attracted to other men. The T is a gender that doesn't correspond with the sex assigned to you at birth. When my daughter was born, I was handed a child and told that I had a boy based on anatomical presentation. But in reality, I had a girl. The way I like to remember it is sex is in what's in your pants and gender is what's in your brain. So that's an easy way to remember what transgender means. The Q originally had a bad connotation, but the queer community has reclaimed this term, and it is simply a term that can describe those who are in a process of discovery and sexual exploration about their sexuality, their gender expression, or a combination. Someone doesn't fully identify under the boundaries of gay, straight, or male-female. And we also use an I at the end, too, LGBTQI. And I is an umbrella term. It means intersex for people either born with sex characteristics that don't fit typically a binary structure, which could mean someone born with both body parts, exactly, of male and female. And the way I got involved with this was my daughter came out as transgender at age 18. And when she called, I didn't know what that word meant. Since then, I've become an expert in everything transgender, it seems. I mean, I can't say that I can totally, in any way, know everything that my daughter goes through. But I can say that I've become an expert in statistics and how to help her. I've started an organization to help local transgender people. But at age 2, we noticed something different about my daughter. My parents sat me down and said, we don't know what it is, but there's something different, and we just want you to know that we're going to love her through it, whatever it is. And had I known when she was younger, I could have taken her to any of the numerous national transgender clinics. They're located throughout the country. And they help children from ages 4 to 23 and then send them, you know, instead of pediatrics, they send them to adult doctors to handle their situations.
Now, originally, like the American Psychiatric Association used to call this gender identity disorder, but now it is listed as a gender dysphoria. How does this change in definition sit with the transgender community?
It's actually a good thing. Gender identity disorder basically categorized all trans people as mentally ill. But with gender dysphoria is a distress that a person experiences as a result of sex and gender assignment at birth not matching. So we can safely say that most people who our transgender has experienced some form of gender dysphoria because their body doesn't look the way that it should, or they haven't started hormones yet.
You mean self-image in a way?
Yes. The 2012 edition of the Psychiatric Diagnostic Manual, the PDM, did away with gender identity disorder and replaced it with dysphoria. It's a marked incongruence between your life experience and what you've been assigned.
Now, recently there have been some scientific studies relating to transgender. Have these studies helped or they hindered the transgender group?
They've helped us because we now have the medical reason behind why transgender exists. People are still of the belief there's only XX and XY. We live in a very non-binary society. There is XXY, there's XXYY, there's XXXY. There are millions of variations of this. And so gender actually occurs on a spectrum, being the most female characteristics you can think of to the most manly man characteristics, and anything and everything in between. So even gender confirmation surgery now, because of this medical evidence, is covered by most insurances and hormone replacement therapy.
Now, do you happen to know what percentage of this population is affected and counted in the LGBTQI population, and roughly how many transgender people are there that they think they're in this society?
Currently, it's doubled in the last 5 years. We believe that there's at least 1.4 million people in the United States alone. But this is nothing new. Even in Indian cultures, they recognized five genders. Medical experts just think, especially in the United States, we are a very binary civilization. Like in Somalia, they have three genders, legal genders that they use.
What's the third one?
I don't know how to say it. It's
What is it?
Yeah. It is what we would consider a transgender woman.
Okay.
And it is accepted in their society. You can have five or six in one family. You know, if we were a more accepting society of transgender individuals, maybe we would have more coming out. We live in a very small area, and I can honestly say that our group is only 3 months old, but we have eight transgender individuals that come to our meetings out of 60, and that's huge.
Now, is there a difference between male and female members of this group, this transgender group, and how they function in our present-day society? I mean, do males and females that are transgender, they handle it the same, or they do handle their personal situation differently?
Well, I mean, no two people are the same.
Well, I understand, but in a general sense.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, a trans man and a trans woman are just men and women. A trans man is truly a man. A trans woman is truly a woman. Now, they may have to do certain things with their appearance or take hormone therapy.
So they do try to affect their sexuality.
Let's back up. Sexuality and gender are two different things. Gender is who you go to bed as.
Okay.
Sexuality is who you go to bed with. So someone being transgender, that doesn't automatically make them gay, straight, bi. Those are still things that you can be transgender and gay, or you can be transgender and straight, just like the average heterosexual.
So those variances can fit right in.
Oh, absolutely. They're just like normal men and women. They are normal men and women, and the sooner society sees them as that, the easier things will be.
Now, when you first started talking, you're talking about how you found out it was when your child was 18, but you recall that your mom and dad had also told you that, too, there was some kind of difference. Does this manifestation, okay, mm-hmm. for lack of another word, since you've been dealing with this and dealing with other kids and everything, was it different for you having to deal with it with your daughter at the age of 18 when she's basically, for all intents and purposes, an adult and having lived all that time? And what you've been dealing with these young children, how do they manifest? How is it that they actually express themselves from this differential between their sex and their gender?
That is a very good question. There's a lot, and not that these kids are confused, but there's a lot of confusion of how we and how parents accept this, okay? A parent who is conservative and doesn't necessarily believe in transgender individuals that has a transgender child, the likelihood of suicide in this group is 41% attempted rate. They're eight times more likely to kill themselves than other children. They need accepting parents. They need peer acceptance. So it can manifest in a number of ways. I mean, with Gwyneth, just because a boy child plays with dolls, that doesn't mean they're going to be transgender. Everyone's story is different. I can say this. Even when Gwen was two, when I put her in footed pajamas, she would take them off and go get one of my big T-shirts and twirl around in front of the mirror to sleep in one of my big T-shirts. And that was her comfort zone. And every year she went as a female character at Halloween. I get phone calls from preschool, first grade, second grade, saying, you know, every time we have free play, Gwen goes to the female side of the room and puts on dresses, you know, and dolls up from head to toe, and other kids make fun of her. Do you want us to put a stop to that? And I'm like, well, it's imaginary play, so that's okay, right? And they're like, well, as long as you're okay with it. And I'm like, well, as long as she's happy, I'm happy. Now, does this mean that every transgender kid presents this way? No. Absolutely not. But we've got to get rid of these gender stereotypes, just like Target, you know, doesn't have gender-specific toys. If we don't let a little girl buy a science set because it's in the boys' section of the toy center, we're sending her a message that you're not good enough to be a scientist. You know, we are limiting our kids.
That kind of brings me to my next question. Again, from your experience, having dealt with the children and with your own daughter, how have the schools, the students, the teachers started handling this transgender condition since it's more in the general vernacular, so to speak, where 20 years ago, if somebody would have said transgender to me, I said, heck, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's mixed. The transgender children that I deal with are given a restroom to use, but it's usually in the nurse's office. So if their classes are all the way across the school, that's not always convenient. They can't make it to the bathroom in time. They're not allowed to use their gender-specific bathroom. When Barack Obama told schools they had to accommodate transgender students, and then Donald Trump rolled that back, basically, Barack Obama sent a message to transgender students that says you're not covered under Title IX of the U.S. Constitution because they're supposed to be protected.
Equality.
Exactly. So it sent a very bad message. And you know, suicide hotlines, there is one, a transgender suicide hotline. It's ran by trans people. It's answered by trans people. Their phone system went down for 2 days in a row because of the influx of calls after that decision.
How do you think it could have been handled better? I mean, now that you're, you know, having been dealt with this and dealt with children from various ages, how do you think the response, say just from the school and the general society, could have been more appropriate? Because really, I think, just like you said, if the kid has to go to the bathroom that's in the nurse's station, that stigmatizes the child right there.
Exactly.
And then.
Exactly. You know, I could say gender neutral bathrooms, but that would mean every bathroom is gender neutral. Family bathrooms, still, we don't want to put a target on our transgender people's backs. My daughter would not be safe in a men's room. She is absolutely gorgeous. If she went in small town, wherever, to a bathroom and she was forced to use the men's restroom, she would probably get killed. I mean, you know, because people don't understand what's going on. My daughter is not a sexual pervert. She's not a predator. In fact, not one case of a transgender person exists of them sexually exploiting or harming anyone in a bathroom. Now, on the other hand, heterosexual men are known as predators. So what people are saying is that we're opening the door for predators to go into our bathrooms, for heterosexual men who have an agenda, a bad agenda, wanting to go into restrooms. But we're punishing transgender people because of the actions of heterosexual men.
So would the solution be then that if a transgender person who happens to feel that they're a male but have the body parts of a female, if they walk into the male bathroom, I mean, just use a stall. Wouldn't that solve the problem?
Sure.
So that's an easy – why don't we use these easy solutions
exactly.
then?
Exactly. There are so many easy solutions, but we have a lot of fear-mongering going on in our society. People are saying that, you know, oh, bad things are going to happen. And if – I don't know about you, but when I go in the bathroom, I'm not looking at other people. I go in there to do my business, wash my hands, and get out. My daughter just wants to pee. These people just want to pee in safety, and they should have that right.
Now, again, you mentioned that you work with other transgender kids, and how is that going? And do you have any suggestions for someone that might be listening to this that has transgender child? How would you tell them to handle it because they're new at this and don't know what's going on?
I was where you are. Maybe your child is younger. But the key to this is if the kid is persistent, insistent and consistent in telling you, Mom, I'm a boy, or Mom, I'm a girl.
Even though they're different.
Exactly.
The opposite.
Right. You have to listen, and you need to go see a therapist, a gender therapist. I do not mean conversion therapy in any way, shape, or form. I mean you need to go to a transgender clinic, get educated. Maybe your child isn't. But from what experts are telling us, if they're persistent, insistent, and consistent in telling you this, More than likely, you have a transgender child. And there's nothing wrong with that. God blessed me with a transgender child. I wish that my daughter didn't have these hurdles to overcome. Every day we open up the newspaper or look online and we see things being decided for my kid. Things as simple as going to the bathroom that you or I take for granted.
Shelley, do you have some statistics to share with the audience that would really make a point as far as what's going on today?
Yes, I will start with unemployment rates. Unemployment rates for transgender individuals are double from their cis counterparts. Cis being CIS, that's someone like me who was born assigned the sex of female and my gender is female. People of color, that number is quadruple. Statistics of violence, 1 in 12 transgender women are murdered. And this really affects our transgender people of color the most. So my odds being a cis heterosexual female of being murdered are 1 in 18,000. My daughters are 1 in 12. They are the number one victims of hate crimes. Students hear, transgender students hear over 23 slurs per day on average in school. They make up the highest percentage of the homeless population due to peer and family rejection. Suicide rates are 8 times higher for LGBTQ youths. And just so you know, 1 in 10 children right now that we know of, 1 in 10 do question their gender. So, you know, the sooner we can educate and advocate for transgender individuals, a transgender brain resembles my brain, a cisgender woman's brain on MRI. This is a biological thing. It was never a choice. It was never a choice for my child.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
Well, that's my show for today. I would like to thank our guest for coming on America Speaks Out. I would also like to point out that anyone is welcome to come on future episodes of America Speaks Out and express their own opinions and ideas about today's subjects and topics. The FlyPod Network is a neutral forum, so regardless of your point of view or your political affiliation, it makes no difference to us. So if you'd like to come on the show, contact us by email right here in the studio, shout@theflypod.com. Well, that's my show for today. From Studio 7, I'm your host, Alex Parnew, coming to you free and clear through the new media network program feeds of theflypod.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.